This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable! Part of Broadway. It's the Men in Blazers Night of 1,000 Stars! It's a special night. We are here to honour FIFA 15. Woo! Woo! The invisible hand behind the inexorable rise of soccer in the United States of America.
Oh, Dave, a live show. I feel a little bit like Beyonce.
Yeah.
Looking at Jay-Z.
It's striking the similarities.
Tomorrow night on
HBO. Similar.
Tomorrow we'll wear a lot more makeup.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I love FIFA. Can we hear it for FIFA?
Yeah. Come on, well done.
Well, I love FIFA almost, not quite, but almost as much as Seth Blatter loves FIFA.
Or Seth Blatter.
Seth.
I love his American
Seth
cousin.
Seth
Blatter.
Spelled his name. It's the European version of S-E-T-H. Seth. Seth Blatter. I'd just say about FIFA, the first ever EA Sports FIFA game, 1993. This is the 21st version of EA Sports FIFA.
Yeah.
If the game was a person, it would only just be able to buy itself a Guinness.
Oh.
Yet it has changed the face of this country for us. It's the invisible hand that has propelled the love of the game we love in the country we love. That
yes.
is a lot of love.
Yeah.
It's something I realized. I was with a lot of University of Alabama students. I don't know if anyone went to Bama here. And I love those guys.
Yeah.
They're not programmed genetically to love soccer.
No. Not so
well,
much.
One of them I met, he said, when we first like, grew up with soccer, we were taught that it was a communist sport.
Yeah.
And they all adored EA Sports FIFA. And I asked them why, and they said it was so simple to learn, but you quickly learned there was a lot you didn't know, but you could play it so quickly. And they said very soon we were learning to get over love breakups we had with 9-hour online EA Sports FIFA binges.
I had no idea that University of Alabama students were so sensitive.
I had to break up with them, Dave. They were no good for me.
Yeah.
But what I realized was, talking to them, that it was there. When you play Madden, you love the NFL. You love the NFL, so you play Madden. But EA Sports FIFA was a game where it took a sport that you didn't necessarily know and it deepened your appreciation, and that appreciation turned to love. When you play Ronaldo, you can power through teams. You can instantly overcome all kind of wild things that attack you. When you play Messi, it's a more subtle creature. It's a more subtle creature to control.
Yeah.
You have to work hard for it to be a giving lover.
And then there's David Luiz. David Luiz, you play David Luiz. You can barely keep control of him. Right. Or Naismith, he runs around and you can't see him. It's impossible.
And I realised that this is the sport that America has come to love, because this sport, year to year to year, this game has become so wildly popular. I think it's more popular, I believe it's more popular in America even than it is now in Germany and England. And it has played this incredible role. And tonight we're here to celebrate a game that started in 1993 as an ice hockey game that they just welded soccer guys on top of.
It's why they skated across the wet fields.
It's not changed, or maybe it has. We'll talk about it a little bit tonight. You love FIFA too,
David. I love FIFA for a slightly different reason, Rog. I only play the Scottish Premier League when I play FIFA. Mostly because I like the interesting changes of weather between East and West Lothian, the Highlands, Fife, Glasgow.
Can we just hear it for Scotland?
Oh, come on, Scotland. If there's one thing the men in blazers appreciate, Rog, it's the democratic process.
We love it. We also want to know when the proclaimers say, when I haver, in that first verse, when they say, when I haver, I'm the man that haver. I still long to know what havering is, Dave. Maybe we'll find out a little bit about havering tonight. Da-da-da-da. What are we doing today? This is an amazing night, David.
It is an amazing night. We got a lot of show. Two things about tonight, very important to recognise. Number one, we're giving lots of money to Wounded Warrior tonight. It's really because it's really important to us. Thank you for the purchase of your tickets to our Suboptimal Live show. Putting a lot of money into that cause that means a lot to me. Second thing, we have massive, massive guests.
Do we?
Tonight.
Do we?
Well, we really should have called this the Night of a Thousand Surprises because we don't know who our guests are.
We called it the Night of a Thousand Stars because we've just been calling a lot of people in the green room.
Yeah. So it's going to be a surprise to us. Until I read my cards, we wanted to make it really exciting for ourselves. Until I read my cards, I don't know who I'm going to be introducing. It's pretty good, right, Rog? Okay, Rog. Monday night, Rog.
Monday night football.
Yeah.
We love America.
Yeah.
We love Heart to Heart.
Yeah.
We love Fantasy Island. We love Charles in Charge.
I love Alf.
We love Different Strokes. But nowadays, they give anyone a television show in your country.
Yeah.
And we love it all the more. At 10 p.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
The Men in Blazers show.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
It's going to make a suboptimal debut.
It will.
We don't know what's going to happen because we've both been obsessed with one thing and one thing only.
Yeah.
What is it, David?
Well, the George Michael sports machine.
Well, about that. Tell you about that. We've been obsessed with the theme tune.
You're so right.
We know that when you produce a show on Monday night in America and you guys love your football, however it's served, you'll tune in.
Yeah.
But essentially, you tune in, we think, because of Hank Williams Jr. saying, I've got to get ready, make everything right.
Yeah.
Because Monday night football is coming on tonight. So Dave and I have like slaved trying to craft.
Yeah.
Trying to craft.
Yeah.
A piece of musical inspiration that would...
It's true. In truth, we haven't worked on any other aspect of the television program.
Why would you? Why would you?
But we have written, we think, the crappiest theme tune in the history of theme tunes. We are so excited to debut.
Would you like to hear it?
Yeah. We're going to debut it for tonight.
You're guinea pigs, musical guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs. But you've got, it's not like this is a focus group where you're going to decide whether we use it or not. We're going to use it. Even if you hate it, I promise you, you're going to be singing it to yourself.
We paid Lionel Richie already, so we're going to use it. Done.
Okay, so JW, let's hit it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's in the mood for some football? Yo, yo, yo. Let's watch some football. Now everybody. Come on, everybody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, yo, yo.
God, that is total shit.
Is that better than the worst ever World Cup record recorded by a football team?
It's so true.
That was the bar we tried to set.
The people
at the real Monday Night Football are going to hear that and they're going to think we're taking the piss.
They're going to quake in their boots, David.
Yeah.
Do you hear us coming?
Yeah, that's so good. Anyway, Rog, David. To the guests.
To the guests!
To the guests! Okay. I'm now going to read who our first guest is.
Dana Plato was not available.
It's not Dana Plato. Okay, our first guest.
Yes.
One of the most talked about athlete acquisitions of the summer. It's not Luke Shaw. Joining another bona fide superstar on a team hungry for glory. I'm not talking about Lukaku Kukuku joining Stephen Naismith at Everton. This man is a three-time NBA All-Star, an Olympic gold medalist, one of the newest members of America's Darlings, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kevin Love. How excited are you, first of all, to be the first ever massive celebrity athlete guest to make your entrance to the crappiest theme tune ever written in the history of sports media?
Well, I can see that I'm a little overdressed.
Yeah. I'm going to do my button up over there. It's very good.
Well, so I can good. Smell the axe. You guys have beer, I have water. That's why I am uptight and you guys are loose. Okay, let's do this.
So good. Anyway, let's keep it great. You are a man of style, yep. Kevin Love. The reason you are dressed so well today, you've been down in Washington, D.C.
I have, yes. I've been at the White House. I did a PSA for a sexual assault called It's On Us. So I was there. As a part of that, President Obama, Vice President Biden, it was quite a bit of fun, but I'm here to talk a little footy. So.
Wow, that's so good. You're a man of style. GQ did an interview with you recently. You described your own style as having a rugged swag feel. I'm asking this for Rog. What does that mean, Kevin? Rugged swag feel. Define that for us.
They had GQ, mind you, had asked that question, and I didn't particularly know how to answer it. I just knew that.
That just came to you.
It really just came to me. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. I have, you know, the lumberjack feel. I was in Minnesota for the past 6 years. Now in Cleveland, they have, was it Paul Bunyan? So I figured that the rugged swag feel kind of fit me well. I don't know.
Yeah, you got it. It's a good one.
You also tagged on to that interview. You said, I have a color me bad beard.
As evidence.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That was in 09, though. So, well, I guess that was 08. The game was 09.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, I read about you in doing my research that as a seventh grader, you could dunk a basketball, Kevin. Now, I'm a man who's obsessed, as many of our listeners know, with every life has a high point in its life.
What was yours?
After which,
it's right now.
Sixth grade when I dunked a basketball.
Oh, wow.
Every life has a moment where you, I'm not sure if you recognize it or not, but life is not going to get any better than that. And I want to ask you, seriously, as a 12 or 13-year-old, when you could dunk a basketball and you essentially had magical powers akin to Peter Parker realizing you could, like, lift the car.
Everything since then has been a major letdown, yes.
That's what he wants to hear.
How did it feel like to be able to do something so aspirational, so young?
Especially being a white boy, being able to get up there and dunk it and... When I was 13, 14 years old, it was gratifying because that was something that I'd always wanted to do. Now that I knew that I was there, I had to graduate from the one hand kind of toilet bowl dunk into getting it clean into the two hand and so on and so forth. And I kind of stopped there, unfortunately.
So that box is yet to be ticked by me.
Did you ever think of playing in goal? Or did anybody ever say to you,
that's
like,
where they
go
used
and
to
play
put
in goal?
Me in youth soccer.
Of course they did.
And because
that long
anytime,
number one rule of American soccer coaching, the big guy. Going goal.
Anytime I moved up and I was a striker, I toe punted the shit out of the ball. I'm still allowed to say shit,
yes,
right?
You are. Yeah, clearly.
Okay. And I would, you know, just, it would be a knuckleball or I'd miss the goal by quite a bit.
Were you good in goal? No. Okay.
We are interested because there's always that theory that if America, this great country in which we are privileged to live, empowered its elite athletes to play soccer instead of gravitating towards sports on the decline, then the US would win the World Cup sooner than like 2018 or 2022. If they stop putting the big guy in goal, what's your take on that theory?
I mean, we have big enough guys that we can put a big guy in goal. We'll get a... I mean, who would you guys like to see in goal from the NBA? LeBron? Dennis Rodman. Oh, nice. That is a great call.
Whoever shouted that out has just won the World Cup in 2018. Yeah. We're on it.
He'll be on the,
Dennis Rodman would make it through a soccer game, an international soccer game, for about 2 minutes before being red carded. He wouldn't make it through.
It's probably
he's the Hoop Solo of men's soccer.
Too soon. Definitely too soon.
Let me ask you a question. You are... Kevin Love.
Where do we possibly go from here?
There's only one place we can go from here.
Yeah.
You are an Arsenal fan.
Well...
Kevin Love, do you relish a little pain in your life? Is there a little, tiny little Mother Teresa that lies within that enormous body of yours, Kevin Love?
We're off to an okay start. I mean, I was kind of, as we mentioned before we came on the show, I was kind of a late adopter to the Arsenal family.
Yeah.
So in, you know, even before 2012, my lady, we went to the stadium at Emirates, and I got to...
God, I have to start
I didn't get to
my
go
lady.
On the pit.
It's such a cool thing to say, my lady. Okay, anyway,
he
carry
told
on.
Me to say that.
It's
he
so
told
good.
Me to say
I love
that.
My lady. Keep on going.
And, you know, she had worked, you know, over in the London area, and, you know, that became her team about 7-8 years ago, so I became an Arsenal fan from there. But... mind you, today, by a wicked twist of fate, when I was at the White House, we're all circling up trying to, you know, we're about to meet the president and the vice president, and, you know, this handsome gentleman who didn't have a hair out of place, had an Aussie accent to him, started talking to me. I said, oh, well, you know, what part of Texas are you from? And we got to talking about some different stuff, and he goes, oh, well, I'm Andrew Wilson, the CEO of EA Sports.
Wow.
I said, what a crazy world, a small world we live in. I'm going up to see the new FIFA game, to play the new FIFA game, to be a part of this whole thing.
And to meet the men in blazers.
To meet the men in blazers.
And he was there to brief the president on ISIS.
He said, if they give you any shit. Tell them that the boss is watching.
Oh, okay. We will behave ourselves. See, I figured that it's perfect for an NBA player to be an Arsenal fan. Because how quickly, when after a basket is scored at one end, or after one team looks like they're about to score a basket, how quickly in transition could another team get all the way up the other end and score at the other end? Like, I don't know, with LeBron, like 3 seconds, because no team in history has conspired to be scored against from more promises of attacking opportunity than Arsenal Football Club.
I know it would make you happy. is if Mr. Wilson ends up sending me some Chelsea swag, huh?
Yes, we love it. Chelsea fans.
You got Chelsea fans in here?
We'll take anyone.
That was weak. We have one up closer.
Come to the shed and we'll welcome you. It's a hospitable family club. You just need to turn up wearing blue and everyone's welcome at Stamford Bridge. Unless you're bald, apparently. So, big career move. You've gone to the Cavs. Read an interview with you back when you were with the Timberwolves, and you were asked who was the best video gamer in the Wolves locker room, and you said, if I say it's myself, they'll all laugh at me. But can you talk about the pressure you feel to fit into a new locker room's video game culture? Because there must be video game culture in a new locker room.
The video game culture in the NBA and in sports is a real thing. It gets very intense, and when I was growing up, when I was part of the younger demographic, there were many broken systems and broken controllers because I was... I would get infuriated when my older brother would beat me in just about every single game. And but when we actually played real sports, it was kind of the other way around, so it wasn't too bad. But the video game culture, yeah, is a real thing. If I would have said I was the best gamer, especially when it came to FIFA, mind you, they all would have laughed at me. I mean, I go back, I'm like the generation where it was like, you know, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, all the way up through, you know, I had the Dreamcast, I had the, so if we're playing like, you know, various different games, you know, I understand, but EA Sports FIFA, if I was to say I was the best player on my team, yeah, they would probably laugh at me and they would say, yeah, go ahead and pick Arsenal.
Well, you're now with a new team. LeBron James. You can tell that he watches football. It looks like he's just gone to Wayne Rooney's barber. Here's the question that many of us are asking. Does he know that he owns a chunk of Liverpool Football Club? Is he aware of that?
Yes, why do you ask?
I can see there's a Liverpool fan. I think Arsenal will be ditched, Dave. Chelsea, the swag will arrive. I see a Liverpool fan in the making.
Yeah, it could be. It could happen. Could happen. So we talk a lot about football as a battle between the forces of big and the forces of small, the bigs and the smalls. And there's nothing in football this summer. France, Valbuena,
Tiny sir.
Smalls and talls working together. It's like perfect harmony.
Right.
This is something that basketball has had down for a long time. But my question for you, is there a small in the NBA who plays like a tall and a tall who plays like a small? And if you want to add big bottoms or small bottoms to either of those categories, you're welcome.
Well, yeah, naturally I could say Russell Westbrook. He definitely is a combo guard, guy that can play many positions. You know, he's a guy that kind of transcends the point guard position. Nobody has seen somebody that athletic at the point guard. So a small that plays tall, I'd probably say him. I mean, he's just an unbelievable athlete that could probably play a number of sports. And now a tall that plays small. Any suggestions? Hey, Scalabrini is a good player.
When I first came to America, I lived in Orlando, Florida, and I went to the first ever Orlando Magic game, and our starting center was a man named Mark Akers. And the first time I was watching him practice, I saw Sam Vincent, who can't have been taller than 6'1", dunking over Mark Akers. He certainly played like a small.
That was, you said that was 89?
Yeah, that was
that
one
was
of the
expansion
worst.
League.
That was expansion franchise basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then week after I arrived in America, I moved to Chicago, and there was a big all-channel press conference, and it was Michael Jordan retiring from basketball. And I just became in awe of Lute Longley.
Yeah. Yes.
Still the good. Nice. To me, the Peter Crouch of the NBA. I'm going to be candid. I'm going to get personal. We're going to take this down a notch. Yeah. We're going to get personal. To me, I've not known you for very long. You're an articulate man. I've got to say, when you say my lady, that's what I think is really the definition of swag
style.
I'm going
to start
saying that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say to you, and feel free to punch me in the face.
Honestly, feel free to punch him in the face. Thank you.
You don't look to me my definition, coming from England, of a Kevin. Of a Kevin. Let me just say, Kevin, I know you all know this, but I'm a pedantic man. Kevin, etymology, Gaelic. It means gentle birth. I don't know you very well, Kevin Love, but I'd imagine that's probably not true.
But big point. It's a great... We weren't aware of what a great American name it was until we did some research on great American Kevins.
These are the Kevins that we know.
Let's take a look at them. Let's roll them right now.
Is it all...
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
Oh. Creepy Kevin.
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, okay. That's yeah. Waterworld.
Oh, Spacey.
Creepier Kevin.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, okay.
Oh, Kevin Hart.
Overexposed Kevin. Kevin, what's his name?
Kevin James.
Ginger Kevin.
Kevin Connolly.
And the mug says it all.
Federline.
Kevin
Federline.
Yeah. To be candid, we come from a country, it's kind of hanging on by its knees, let's be honest. Thank you, Scotland. And Kevin is a proud tradition of Kevins, and football gives us so many Kevins, right, Davo, that we draw upon as inspiration and role model.
Oh, great footballing Kevins. Here we go. Oh.
Kevin Kilban?
Kilban.
Oh, that's a moustache. Kevin Richardson. Richardson.
He's a great one.
Oh, Sheedy, God.
Yeah.
Campbell. Godder.
Yeah, it's a good one. Oh, De Bruyne.
Pink Farmer.
De Bruyne. Oh, Prince Boateng.
Kevin. Prince Boateng.
Yeah, another Kevin.
Super Kev.
Oh, Super Kev.
If you grew up in England, Kevin Love, you would be called R. Kev.
R. Kev.
That's what they call it. They wouldn't call you Kevin Love, they called you R. Kev. R. Kev. With a big dunk.
Yeah.
Do you feel... I'm going to undermine my... I love America for many reasons. I love America because it's the country that's given us great names. Billy Ocean.
Best name ever.
Let's hear it for Billy Ocean.
There's no better name than Billy Ocean.
Well, there is. God Shamagod.
That's a good name.
That's a great name. And Coco Crisp. I think Coco Crisp.
That's a good name.
There you go.
We have names that I wish that my name was Hamish. I always wish Hamish Davish. Would have been a great name. Rog, you have a name you wish.
I hate the name Rog. I didn't hate it till this afternoon at 3:00. But I've got to tell you, I'm ashamed to be called Roger today. I wish my name was Reuben. Reuben Bennett. Reuben.
That would be a good one. So, Kevin, have you ever had a name? Have you ever thought, I wish I could have another name in front of love?
I really haven't. Another...
What's your middle name?
Wesley.
That's a good name.
Wes Unseld.
I actually love my name. Wes Unseld.
Amazing man.
Wesley
Amazing
Love. Man. That's a great
Kevin
name.
Kevin Wesley Love, yes.
There's a soul album in Wesley Love.
Yes.
I mean, I'm thinking. Maybe a country album as well. It could be both. It could be a combo.
Big Love.
Yeah. We thought Angelo would be a good name.
Angelo, like he's an Irish soul singer.
Angelo Love.
Angelo Love.
Yeah, could have been that.
Puppy Love. Is it literally, do you feel like a Kevin? Or is it a name that you've always
helped
with? I
think Kevin's a great name, especially at least in my sport. There's you know, Durant, Garnett, there's me, there's McHale, there's Kevin Johnson, he's a mayor, I mean...
Kevin
KJ.
Johnson. KJ. I like
KJ?
That.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is our theory about Kevin not being a huge American name is completely and utterly crap.
In so many words, yes.
Pretty much par for the course. So you excited about FIFA? Excited about the new game?
Yeah, I was just playing it back there. I was trying to get Joe on the sticks, but he was playing with his team, Cameroon. And playing with the US team.
Okay, well, we have no idea who's coming up next, we don't know who you're talking about. Don't know who you're talking about.
Spoiler alert, sorry guys.
And you're talking about Joe Pesci, who's backstage.
Yeah, Joe Pesci. Yeah.
He's a massive FIFA player.
And we're honestly
acting like you guys. I walked in here, I had no idea. That's my bad, everybody. Yeah. Seriously, my sincerest apologies.
Looking forward to it. Kevin Love.
Kev.
Good luck this season in Cleveland. That's going to be
one
hell of a franchise.
Thank you
for not only coming here today, but the important work you're doing down in Washington, D.C., that is fantastic, the fact that you care enough about that to go and do it. Thank you for your support of FIFA. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Love!
Thank you. Thank you.
Man.
You got my cards. David, you got my cards.
What?
You got my cards.
Oh. Oh. Oh, that makes a lot of sense now. We had each other's cards. Okay. Rog.
David.
Second guest. Not such a big surprise, but very, very important for us.
I think he should call himself Puppy Love.
Yeah. Puppy Love will be a good name. Okay, simmer everybody. We're here to celebrate the birth of a game, FIFA 15. In those instances, we always like to bring on the proud father to give him a shake of the hand and pat on the back. So it's our honour to welcome to the stage a man who has worked at EA Sports for 22 years, Rog. My God, that is before computers were even invented.
Back then, I've got to tell, EA Sports made games that were invented to be played on an abacus.
This is a man born in Manchester, brought up in Ascot, that's in the south, but somehow became a Liverpool fan. That is...
That's what happens when north and south collide.
Yeah, that's football for you. Welcome to the stage, senior producer of the FIFA franchise, Mr. Nick Shannon. It's like sitting with God and talking about creation and how it happened.
That's how I imagine it feels to sit with Sepp Blatter.
Yeah, that's how Sepp Blatter imagines
I call him
it's like
Daddy.
To sit with Sepp Blatter. Okay, so what an impact your game has had on the American public. You sell more FIFA here in America than you do in Germany or even England. We already talked about that. But do you feel like you're one of the soccer's biggest power brokers, right up there with Blatter and Beckerman?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Well, it feels like I'm on a night with 1,000 stars and some bloke that works on FIFA.
We love it.
I mean, it's great to work on such a huge franchise. Very proud to make the game that we make. We try and innovate and make the best game that we can every single year. We think FIFA 15 is the best game we've ever made. And, you know, it's great to be able to come and talk to you guys about it.
I mean, you've got beautiful eyes, Nick Shannon.
Can I just say that where I'm from, it wouldn't be our Kevin.
He's a southern boy. What would they call him there? You'd call him Mr. Love. Don't hit me in the face, Mr. Love. Yeah. What I'm fascinated about is we've heard about the success story. FIFA's a big hit in America. I know that stuff. There's NBA games, there's NHL games. It's a competitive field. There's the shoot 'em ups, all that stuff. Madden is obviously a juggernaut. We live in a country, let's be honest. When I moved here in 1994, people were not embracing soccer like it was a victorious hero returning to liberate our lands.
Yeah, soccer.
They play Madden because they love the NFL. But at the outset, the funny thing about EA Sports, which I kind of like the FIFA game, it propels people towards soccer. I'm a big Paula Abdul fan.
Yeah.
She had a song called Opposites Attract.
Oh, classic.
I think that song was about EA Sports FIFA. It propels people who hate it towards the game in a loving embrace. What is it in your mind about the game that has allowed this thing to really take root in like a weed?
Well, I think first of all, you don't have to be tall. I mean, obviously, we've just seen Kevin Love come on, so that helps. And secondly, I think ultimately, you mentioned it earlier, the game is pretty straightforward to play. You don't have to run plays. You just get up, pick up, play. Kind of the hardest thing about soccer is offside, you know, and it's pretty easy to understand after a while, especially when you get called offside quite a few times. So, you know, it's keeping...
Ethan Dzeko.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think, you know, we've obviously tried to, you know, as I say, innovate each year over the last couple of years, and we've tried to make the best game we can, and people sort of transcend to that, you know, a really good sports game at the end of the day.
So FIFA 15 out this week, but I imagine you're already in the cycle for future FIFA games. How do you get your head around that?
How do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, ultimately, you know, I think everyone's here because they love football, they love soccer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all get very fortunate to work on a game, on a sport that we love. So we watch the game every single week. We're really, you know, fortunate now we get the games on NBC every week. So we watch and we get inspiration. We get the inspiration for the games just by watching. And we never run out of ideas. You know, we make the game each year. There's lots of things we can't get to.
Yeah.
Every single year we're working on things for multiple years. This year we've introduced the goalkeepers. That was we've been working on that for more than 2 years. So we've always got technology in the background that we're looking to bring in, and then we look and be inspired by football at the end
of
the
day. So Alexis Sanchez's goal celebration from last weekend, ripping the shirt off, abs. You look at that and you think, whoa, we might get that in.
We'll see.
Okay.
I mean, I've got to say, we've been playing FIFA 15 all week,
yeah.
which is why we've not prepared for this show.
Yeah.
The level of detail is unbelievable to me. I mean, you're like Monet painting the Rouen Cathedral. It's like just absolutely obsessed with very similar details. I played in Bombonera. I played as Boca Juniors, and the crowd jumped so much during the game, it feels like my living room is shaking.
Wow, I've got to leave Scotland.
Don't, because I played Blackburn and it felt like, I swear, someone urinated on me through a rolled up program during the game. The goalkeepers, I've got to tell you, they're so unbelievable now. They even make crazy Joe Hart seem like he can save a shot, which is somewhat mind-blowing. But it's the thing that amazed me most was the emotional intelligence of the footballers. I mean, like, I played Balotelli. He got angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier as the game went on. How can you improve this game? Like, honestly, there's
what
no point.
What can you do? What more can you do?
I made a short list.
Okay, good one.
Number one, add the smell of pies.
Brilliant. Smell of pies.
But only at Wigan.
Mainly at Wigan, but also everywhere else.
Number two,
have
a single voice. Scream obscenities like you're watching an Everton game on NBC. Yeah.
A voice that sounds a lot like Rog.
No. When you watch an Everton or Liverpool game, they always set the microphones just too close to some Scouser who's like, the whole game. It's amazing. I love it. Even if we're 3-0 down, I love watching. Is there a point where you're just like, we're dropping the microphone with this game because it's perfect?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, as I say, we're really happy with FIFA 15 this year, but it gives us inspiration to move forward again next year. And again, like I say, we get inspired each week, but there's lots of things we still want to do. I mean, being able to add in all the Premier League players this year, you know, we scanned every single stadium. You know, we now had the ability to add 200 more players and actually scanned all of their heads. Those kind of things, you know, just be able to go around, meet the players, put that kind of authenticity in, but also look at ways that we can improve the gameplay as well. At the end of the day, gameplay is the most important thing, and we'll always be driving to make that the best we can.
How do you know when it's done? I'm sure you're a perfectionist.
The game?
Uber perfectionist.
When's it done?
Well, I think this year, we talked about the emotion, you talked about the intelligence of the game. We're tracking the emotion of all players. We've added a lot of new crowds. Crowd chants. We brought in the cop at Anfield, you know, which for me is fantastic.
Carry on.
And I think for me this year, when you there's always a moment. You always start playing the game, and you play. You know, this is a couple of months ago where we were playing, and I scored Steven Gerrard, a winner, 90th minute winner. We went into the corner, and you can touch the corner flags now, which is it's a big deal. You can also have 10-man celebrations, and Gerrard went to the corner, slid on his knees, all the teammates piled in next to him, the crops going mad. I don't think it was Everton, I'm not sure. I can't remember who the away team was. But let's pretend it was Everton. It was
wasn't Chelsea.
Mad. Yeah, exactly. He didn't slip. And then the goal was scored, going back to the centre circle, kick-off, and the cop singing, "You Will Never Walk Alone." And to me,
good.
That was the emotional part of the game which we wanted to create.
So we've just understood the motivation of this game. It's for one man to build to build something that can exist only in his dream life.
This is, by the way, which is very similar to actual FIFA, which is very true. Thank you.
Nick, the FIFA feature we love most, honestly, being control freaks. is FUT. FIFA
Ultimate Team.
Oh, I love it.
You have to be careful.
I know, I was wondering where you were going with that, Roy.
Yeah. I mean, okay, go. Arsene Wenger said today, there's a lot of people who think they're tacticians, but they're not paid for it. FUT is where you get to live out your kind of fantasies about tactics and show that Arsene doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, last year also, you added all these kind of classic names to the mix. Like, you could have Valderrama line up in the midfield alongside Gareth Barry and just be, wow.
Yeah.
So, you were very engaging because we knew you were coming on. Davo challenged me to a game.
Yeah.
Which you simulated.
Yeah.
We both picked a team.
Yeah.
And I believe you played. Can you describe how you kind of programmed it last night?
Yeah. What, the actual game?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna announce our teams, but yes. You tell us what you did with these teams.
Yeah, I am. I have it here.
No, but you played them, simulated them,
yes,
thousands of times, right?
Yes. Yeah. Many.
Okay.
So Dave and I picked two teams. This is my team.
Okay, Rod, do your team.
All right.
It's a bit blurry.
This is my best 11 currently in football.
Yeah.
In goal, I've got to go for America's number one. Brad Guzan. Brad Guzan. I love a polar bear in goal. Back line, Leighton Baines. I'm very, very, I love Pride and Prejudice. Bobby Moore, the first gentleman of English football, sure at that centre-back position. And then I needed the 27th gentleman of Brazilian football, Thiago Silva, to just slot in alongside him. Right back, Philip Lahm. I like my right back to look just like German Lisa Minnelli. All right, you need a small and a tall at the heart of midfield. David Silva, yeah, Toure. You're on. In the game, not in real life, in the game. And then I needed the best midfielder in the world to play right behind them. Can we hear it for Kyle Beckerman, number 5? Up front, we worked in Rio at the World Cup all summer. There was only one man that was nice to us, Ruud van Nistelrooy. You've earned your slot. We love. How much do we love Ruud, David?
Oh, I love Ruud.
He's going to score against you. And then the two best attackers in world football in tandem, a duo as harmonious as Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney, Julian Green and Stephen Naismith. What you cannot see, you now, cannot defend.
I had the good fortune of having a spy in your camp who leaked to me the details of your team. So all I had to do was construct a team who I believe man for man could beat your team in goal. I raise your US number one with the greatest US number one of all time, Tim Howard, in goal.
One of my own!
At left back, I'm still confident Ashley Cole can outplay Leighton Baines. In centre back, Desai and Beckenbauer, I've got in centre back. At right back, I know this is better, Roberto Carlos at right back. My midfield, this is both hard, creative, and insane. Matic, Fabregas, and Ruud Gullit.
Is Kevin Love in your starting 11?
I'll tell you. I quickly scratched him after he told me that he wasn't any good. And up front, an artist, Gianfranco Zola, Rog. The man with the greatest jazz hands in world football, Diego Costa. And the best young player in England, Raheem Sterling. That's my team. Let's find out what happened.
Okay. How many computers programmed this? I imagine a big Russian supercomputer in the ears. Beep, 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 beep. Come on. Tell us what happened. Don't let me down, Nick.
So, apparently, the game was played at Goodison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give them the advantage. It's fine.
Home game.
Yeah, so home of the second best team in Liverpool. It was a tight opening game. It was tight in the opening.
Yeah.
Fabregas was clearly running it. You know, he was running it all from the midfield. Great passes up to Sterling. And then in the 27th minute, there was the first breakthrough. It says here that Ashley Cole sprung down the right, but I'm sure it was the left. Yeah. Hopefully it was the left. And he found Raheem Sterling in stride, who then lobbed it up to Matic, and it was 1-0.
Wow, Matic scored.
Yeah.
Whoa, this is going to be a good day.
There you go.
Wow, Rod.
But it was By the way, we did this for the World Cup. We got to pick our greatest ever World Cup games. And I felt obliged to pick Alexi Lalas at centre-back out of every single World Cup player I could pick from the whole World Cup ever.
And he got sent off.
We did this. He got sent off on 11 minutes for two yellow cards. By the way, I got beat 12-0.
Okay, then what happened? We scored too early, didn't we?
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Okay.
So basically, it was the game really started going, and in the 41st minute...
Yeah.
And a brilliant individual effort from Julian Green.
Jiver Bennett time!
He danced past Desai.
Yeah. Well, he's quite old now, Desai.
Push forward into the box and strikes a curler past Howard at the far post.
Wow. Ooh.
Always choose a bar mitzvah boy.
Yeah.
So it was 1-1 at half time.
Wow, good. That was almost Ivor Bennett time that he scored, Roger. Anyway, carry on. So second half.
So good team talk to half time.
Yeah.
And as we return, yeah. It is from the Hullet plays through a masterful ball.
Yeah.
Lahm slips.
Oh, of course he does.
Finds Zola on the run.
Yeah.
Misses the challenge of Guzan. Yeah. And a little cheeky chip brings you back in the lead 2-1.
Wow, he's an artist. He's an artist, Zola. Gianfranco Zola. Anyway, okay, 2-1 up.
2-1 up. 88th minute. It's Yaya.
Yes!
Get in!
Get in! Yeah.
Who loses the ball?
Yeah. Oh.
No. No, I'm joking.
Okay.
He beats Beckenbauer.
Yeah.
Leaves Roberto Carlos for dead.
Yeah.
And, oh, actually, no, sorry. He leaves him with no choice, and Roberto Carlos takes him out.
Yeah.
Yellow card, not sent off, yellow card.
Whoa.
So the ball's just outside the box.
Yeah.
Who's going to take the free kick? Naismith. Yeah.
He's invisible. You can't see him. You don't know when he's going to take the free kick.
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, he drives it over the wall.
Yeah.
Takes a slight deflection, goes in.
Yeah! Whoa. Sorry, David.
That's okay. It's 2-2.
Okay. Two minutes left.
I love life.
Five minutes of added time.
What?
Yeah.
I don't like where this is heading.
I think it's a bit of that.
Okay. So Howard rolls it out.
Yeah.
To Roberto Carlos.
Yeah.
Pushes it onto Matic again.
Oh, my God. Lynchpin.
Who's got space down on the left-hand side. Everyone's forward. Diego Costa rises.
Oh, he rises so well.
And a clean header in the top corner.
Game over. Jazz hands.
So 3-2 to my team, final result. Good game, Rog. Well played. You put in a good effort.
Oh, Davo. Vince Lombardi once said, show me a good loser, and I'll show you a loser. Nick, thanks for coming on.
Brilliant.
Get him off, David.
You good?
Give him a mug.
So what is the one feature you are most excited about, Nick, for people to know about FIFA? What is the one thing that you need our GFOPs to take out of here tonight and spread the evangelical message of FIFA 15 for you?
The biggest feature we're really proud of actually is just the responsiveness of the game this year. We got a lot of feedback. Is there any? I assume some people in here play FIFA?
Yes.
Well, thank you. Well, first of all, thank you. And we got a lot of feedback last year that at times the game didn't feel quite as responsive as you guys would like. So we've done a lot of work. We've completely rewritten all of our dribbling.
Not enough.
We've rewritten just turns on defending as well. So the game feels a lot more responsive. But one of the little features as well that we haven't talked a lot about or at all actually is just lighting. We've completely changed the lighting. And I'd suggest that you all, because it does, you know, go into the settings and change to like 5:30 in the autumn, because that lighting looks spectacular.
Yeah, no, it looks way more realistic, mm-hmm. just the pitch the whole time. Anyway, thank you very much, the God, the creator, the supervising producer of FIFA 15, Mr. Nick Shannon.
enjoyed that, man.
Here's your star, Nick. Thank you very much. Nick, everybody, thank you. Okay. Rod.
Dave-o.
So we talk a lot about the notion of quarterback style.
Yeah.
Quarterback style. I think it's time to us...
Can we get a better guest?
To go full on quarterback style. Our next guest.
Yeah.
One of the most exciting young signal callers in the NFL. His amalgam of strength and athleticism remind us of Danny Welbeck. Actually, sorry, that's not true at all. In a much better fitting jersey.
England's Danny Welbeck.
GFOPs, please give a warm welcome to the starting quarterback for our own New York Jets, Mr. Geno Smith.
Gino, you didn't have to dress up.
I'm way underdressed, man.
So
men in hoodies and things.
So, Gino, we're going to talk to you about football.
Let's do it.
But we want to start talking about soccer.
Right.
And your growing interest in this sport.
The sport of the future.
How has that evolved? How's FIFA 15? How is this going to play its role in your evolution of your love for the game of soccer?
I just played FIFA 15. It's awesome. I got involved with soccer. I was, as a fan, watching the World Cup, just as many of us did, played soccer as a kid. I really enjoyed it. You know, it was something I did for fun. But recently I've been playing FIFA. My teammates and I, we always play it, in training camp, and we have a bunch of good games. And I'm usually coming out on the losing end of some of those battles, but I'm getting better. So this FIFA 15 will help me get better with my skills for next training camp.
What team do you play as when you play FIFA?
Paris, man. Paris, France.
Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Love it.
But I also believe you like two English sides, which when I hear what they are, it doesn't surprise me that you lose a lot of games, actually. I heard you like Liverpool and Manchester United.
I'm more of a Liverpool guy.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Liverpool guy.
You know, Gino, I'm very fond of the Jets. Joe Klecko. Wayne Krebet.
Yes, sir.
Lamb Jones. Any Lamb Jones fans? I mean, Jets, to me, are an amazing example of why it's very, very wise that there's not the notion of relegation in American sports.
Oh, hold on. Get them.
Wow.
We asked a lot over Twitter. We asked a lot of our listeners, who would the New York Jets be if they were a Premier League team?
Right.
Tottenham. Wow. Do you have an opinion on this? I'm going to read them out to you, but I'd love to know if you have any sense.
Do I have an opinion on it? Definitely one of the better teams. Got to be one of the better teams, right?
Big market. In a big market.
In a big city. Right?
Yeah, here's a we asked over Twitter this afternoon, and then we filtered out every other NFL fan, and we only just took people who self-identified as Jets fans. So this is all from people who said, I'm a Jets fan, this is what they are. And they came up with this list. They said, Newcastle.
That sleeping giant, Newcastle. That's a big club.
Queen's Park Rangers, team on the rise! And Blackburn Rovers, team you should be paying more attention to on Monday night when they lose to my Bears. Sorry, go on, keep going.
Whoa.
I don't know. I don't know that that's compared. So when you watch football, when you're watching the World Cup and you're watching those athletes, are you watching it through an NFL lens, through being an athlete lens? What is the athleticism of soccer players that you appreciate as a sort of a huge, you know, dynamic athlete yourself?
Well, I appreciate the endurance those guys have to be able to run around all game.
No timeouts.
Those guys, you see guys rarely, getting tired and coming out of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they run around, and some of those bicycle kicks that I see them perform, man, it takes a ton of athleticism to do that stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
He's a Carl Beckerman fan.
Yeah.
You know, when I researched you out, Gino, I don't like to try and insert myself into the story, but you're a man of many talents. As a child, you were a good chess player.
Pretty good.
I was a very good chess player. You were in the school production of The Nutcracker. I was the tramp in Guys and Dolls. You took up drawing as a hobby. Gino, I love to draw. We're both elite quarterbacks in the NFL. But in the fifth grade, there's something that you did that I did also. You won an oratorical contest.
Yeah.
Reciting work by a great poet.
Yes, sir.
Who was that great poet?
Langston Hughes.
Langston
Hughes.
Oh, my
word. One of the best. Love Langston Hughes. Love him.
I went down to the river. I sat down on the bank. I tried to think but couldn't, so I jumped in and sang. Life is fine. Langston Hughes. What poem did you recite? Do you remember?
Man, I can't remember. I wish I had to call my mom. I call my lifeline.
You also finished second in the voting for Mr. Florida, which I did not do.
Oh, yeah. I'm still mad about that one.
I think you played happy on some cuts.
So one of the things that really interests us about watching the Premier League is that, you know, some of these players come into the Premier League really young. They don't have the benefit of going and playing college 4 years. They come in as like 18, 19-year-olds. Mm-hmm. But certainly as a rookie in the biggest media market in the world,
Huge. You
come in under the glare of expectation, exposure, attention. Mm-hmm. We try to think what it's like for a young player like Raheem Sterling at Liverpool to have like everybody suddenly expecting on every single play, looking at him, what he's going to do. Can you talk about what that's like as a rookie?
It was fun.
Not what I expected.
I mean, everyone expects you to play great, and you expect that from yourself. You know, it's fun. It's a game that we've always played. Obviously, it's on a higher level, and the stakes are higher, but it's fun, man. To be able to go out there and play a game that I love is something that I wouldn't trade for the world.
Yeah, sure.
We had one of our favorite NFL. We love the punters in the NFL.
We mostly watch the NFL purely from the point of view of the punting.
Yeah. Reggie Roby won us over at a very young age. And we had Spencer Lanning, the Cleveland Browns punter, on. We asked him this question. We're fascinated. I mean, it's an amazing time in soccer history. The sporting tectonic plates are shifting. A young guy, Drake Davis, this week turned down Florida State and said, I'm going to, turn down football, think a little bit about soccer. He is the size, well, he's a bit bigger than Yaya Toure, this gentleman. He turned down a huge number of teams that were coming for him, including Alabama. He comes out of Virginia. Is this like a celebrated decision, which is like something we're going to see more and more of as soccer rises? Or is this a one-off, do you think, in your estimation?
I believe so. I believe the more that, with games like FIFA 15 and with the rise of the World Cup and that popularity, I think kids will become more and more involved in soccer coming up and will develop a passion for it. And like anything else, you learn to love it. And you will see guys, making those tough decisions. And at times it can be, soccer over whatever other sport they're deciding on.
Last thing for me, so you were, if not the first, one of the first signings for Jay-Z and his sports agency. You must hang out with him all the time. What's he like? What's it like hanging out?
Honestly, we're both two very busy men, so we hang out very sparingly. But, he's a great guy, good fun guy to be around.
Something else I notice is that you're here in the biggest media market in the world. I rarely see, photographs of you in the press. The paparazzi, they get Rog more than they get you.
That's good. That's the way I like it.
They always think they're shooting the Ukrainian president when they're shooting it.
How do you stay so stealthy and undercover in this city and you don't get followed everywhere you go?
Well, they don't have paparazzi in the film room, so that's where I'm always at. So you don't have to worry about
it. Oh, good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Brilliant. Well, Gino, really, really good luck from both of us, from all of our GFOPs, for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
There's nothing I would like to see more than the Jets
take us to the Super Bowl to win it. It'd make me so happy. I love the colour green. Yeah. I'm with the Jets because I love the green, and I prefer your green to the Eagles' green. It's a slightly odd green, I've always felt. I like your green.
The Eagles' like green, it's like Plymouth Argyle.
I don't like that green. I love your green. So good luck to you rest of the season. Enjoy FIFA 15. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Geno Smith.
Thank you.
I love that.
Any Bears fans here?
Wow.
Bear down. Bear down, Gino. Bear down.
Okay, Rog, we're going to take a quick break. It's not a break, but we're going to do something else before our final guest.
To the football.
To the football. We're going to talk about football. Okay, Rog, big news. Massive, big wow news. MLS and MLS. It is not the MLS. It is not MLS. It is an MLS. Let's get that right. They got a new look. Here's the logo. What do you think?
I love it.
And logo.
I love it. Any logo in this digital age has to look good at tiny and it has to look good at massive. And there was an Everton fan. We got very, very sensitive reactions to new logos. But I like this one because it's got the thickening. It's excited. I want you to know, America, no one's listening.
Do you think that's a mistake?
No. No, I think it's... Davo, you know our first... We have two rules in life. You don't read too much into...
International friendlies.
And the other rule we live our lives by is... It's not the size of the logo, it's the motion of the ocean.
That's very true. I'll never look at that the same way again, and same way again.
It's exciting about football.
Okay, I've got some huge questions about the football. Okay, let's move the logo. We are 2/19 of the way through this Premier League season.
Talk about being excited.
We don't even look at the table until we're at least 3/19 or 4/19 of the way through, Rog. But what do we actually know right now?
We know a
lot. This is what Roger and I have been trying to figure out what we know. Okay, the first thing I think we know, if you want to rent a minibus in Burnley, you call David Fishwick, and he's on 01282-875-4729. We know that.
Secondly, we know that Diego Costa is not interested in scoring goals. He's driven single-handedly, like a madman, motivated to mount the biggest jazz hands revival since Bob Fosse first unleashed Pippin on Broadway.
He also goes jazz fingers occasionally.
Yeah, that's for his hat trick, David.
Yeah, and he goes jazz hands. Okay, I think we know this. The best English strikers are actually defenders raised in Portugal. The dire wolf. Okay, do we know anything else, Rog?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's all amateur hour crap compared to our next guest.
Oh.
We're going to bring onto stage the man, the single man who I think had the best American World Cup of 2004, Davo.
Yeah, and I think we've all got to sing a song to welcome him on right now.
Let's do it, Davo.
I said a Paul
Cup blows your mind. Said Paul Cup blows your mind.
I
said,
Paul, close your mind,
said,
Paul, come.
Say what?
I said, Paul, close your mind, said, Paul, come. Paul Carr is here to blow our minds. Okay, we have asked Woo.
This is a lot bigger than the panic room.
Okay. This is a lot bigger than the panic room. There you are in the panic room, down there in the crap part of Copacabana Beach, crap part of Rio with us down there. So what we ask you to do is to bring us three facts.
Hang on a minute. Paul bloody Carr's here!
Three facts.
I've got the tingling in the down blows.
It's like the MLS logo. Okay, three facts. Ask you to bring us three facts that are going to blow our minds about this Premier League season, and you have to help us with this, is that I want you to give us a relative wow for how much your mind is blown. So after he gives the fact, if it's like, pretty mind-blowing, which it will be, it'll be wow.
Wow!
Wow! If it's medium mind-blowing, wow!
Wow!
If it's truly mind-blowing, we want a
boom! Wow!
Okay, you ready? Okay, fact number one to blind mind pull.
Don't be generous.
All right. Liverpool.
Yeah.
Historic club.
Yeah.
18 titles.
Yeah.
Lots of great goal scorers.
Yeah.
Ian Rush, Robbie Fowler.
Yeah.
Fernando Torres.
Thank you.
So you'd figure, high scoring team, they've had a lot of scoring streaks.
Yeah.
However, if Liverpool scores at Bowling Ground against West Ham this weekend,
yeah,
it will be the first time in club history they've scored in 17 away games in a row in the first division.
Wow. Wow.
You're a very charitable audience.
That's a wow. That's a
wow. It's a wow.
That's a low grade wow, but yeah, a pretty good wow. Okay, yeah. Fact number two, Paul Carr, blow my mind.
Big game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Man City, Chelsea.
Oh.
Before we look forward, we gotta look back a little.
Yeah.
When the top four teams played last year.
Yeah.
Goals allowed by each team. Arsenal, 18 in six games. Liverpool, 11. Man City, 11. Chelsea, 2.
How did we not win it? How did we not win it?
Was that no more a woof than a wow?
That's a wow.
That was a woof.
That's a pretty wow. That's a big wow. I think that didn't get a big enough wow that it deserved. That's pretty wow. Okay, fact number three. Let's go for the factory book art about to blow our mind.
Fouls drawn. Usually...
Fouls drawn.
So okay, time fouls to player drawn. Is foul.
Digging deep here, Paul.
Usually okay. Gives you... It's usually an attacking player, a very important player, someone who has the ball a lot.
Yeah.
For example, at the World Cup,
yeah,
it was Arjen Robben.
The most fouls committed were against Arjen
right.
Robben.
He was fouled Arjen Robben.
Okay. Okay.
Last year in the Premier League season, it was your boy Eden Hazard.
Last year.
One of the best players. Last season.
Hazard.
One of the best players in the league.
Big bottom small.
Last 4 years, it's been Luis Suarez in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Again, one of the stars.
Anne Hathaway.
This season, the big star, the most fouled man in the Premier League.
Not Eric Dyer.
Stephen Naismith.
Wow!
Wow! Wow! What you cannot see, you cannot foul, Paul Carr.
Wow! Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Carr just blew our mind! Whoa.
Oh, I wish you could smell him. He's amazing.
Rog, I just turned over the card. Our final guest, an even bigger get than Paul Carr.
Is Paul Carr's dad coming up?
Yeah. Our final guest.
Paul Carr's mum.
Is the reigning NBA Defensive Player of the Year. He swats shots and grabs rebounds with a tenacity that makes Lee Catamole look like an overindulged house cat. As we will discuss, this man hails from great sporting stock. His father just happens to be our favorite French tennis player of all time. Ladies and gentlemen,
Henri Leconte.
Welcome back to his hometown. A man who could play for almost as many national teams as Adnan Januzaj. The Chicago Bulls, Mr. Joakim Noah!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Part of town, go play for the Knicks. I love that. First thing, you gotta love New York fans.
Were you aiming at me? I'm not ready to sign.
So, for those of you not from New York, who just come in, the part of town we're in, other than being called the crap part of Broadway, is called Hell's Kitchen. You used to live just blocks away from here as a kid. Like, how close are we to your old hood?
Yeah, I could walk to my old building, you know.
Wow.
51st Street, 10th Avenue, that's where I grew
wow.
up.
Wow. So. Wow.
Hell's Kitchen, baby. Hell's Kitchen.
before the strippers moved in. It's amazing.
Strippers, they always move in for a reason.
It's all good.
I mean, you are New York born, of French, Swedish, and Cameroonian descent.
Wow.
Yes.
You've got more identities in pistachio disguise heat. Who'd you cheer for in the World Cup? Or is it easier to list the teams that you don't cheer for? England.
It's a tough question, you know. It's tough when you come from a lot of different places. For some reason, I wasn't for USA, though. I mean, I don't know. I just I believe that we will win, Chen. I was like, we gotta come up with something a little bit better than that.
I think it's important that people should cheer for the teams that they truly feel called to cheer for, rather than jumping on some kind of bandwagon do it. So I appreciate that. I like your honesty. I appreciate your honesty. How many athletes come out here and are honest? I love that. I appreciate it. So you went to the World Cup. You went down to Brazil.
Yes.
You were in Recife, the biblical flood, watching Germany play the US.
Yes, that was a great, great match.
Yeah, it was a great match. So you must see, despite you don't love the chance, you must see a lot of progress with that U.S. men's national team.
No, definitely. And it's exciting. You know, I think that USA has ways to go in soccer, but you can see that there's definitely a fighting spirit, and you can see it right now. You know, a FIFA event, look, in USA now, you got all the fans here from USA, got fans now. They take their soccer real serious now.
You play, but are there parallels between defensive play? You know, you're a lot more than just a defensive player, but you are the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Are there parallels in great defensive soccer players and playing great NBA defense? Is it a mindset rather than just the simple athleticism?
No, I think it's team camaraderie.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you really care about winning, you know that defense is a part of it.
Yeah.
And you know that, you know, the better teams usually have a solid defense.
Yeah.
You are, I mean, you're more than defense. You're an intangible player. You're defensive player of the year. You're all defensive first team. But you're also the all NBA first team. Who's the you of world football? When you look at world football, who do you look at and like, that's the Noah.
I don't know. You know, I'm more of like an old school soccer guy. So the guy that I used to love watching was a guy called Edgar Davids.
Oh, Edgar Davids, one of the greats.
You know, I used to, the guy was such a warrior. You know, I'm not from Holland or anything, from the Netherlands, but at the end of the day, you gotta give credit when credit is due. Edgar Davids.
I love it. That's a good, really good one. You grew up watching PSG.
Yes.
I'm guessing they're your go-to team on FIFA now. Yeah. Paris Saint-Germain.
Yes.
Are you able to play Zlatan in the game, and is he as outrageous in the game as he is in real life?
Zlatan is the man.
Yeah, and you're part Swedish also, so you gotta love him.
I'm half Swedish, so you know, we got a lot of love for the Zlatan. You know,
he's got a lot of love for himself.
Not only is he a great, you know, he's the man. Nobody's gonna stop him. But I come from those PSG teams. I used to go watch George Weah. Does anyone remember George Weah?
Yes, absolutely. Great African football.
You know, those are the guys that I grew up watching, and then I moved to the States, and it's a little bit harder to watch soccer.
And they were a very different team back then. They were a very, very different team. Who is the best Chicago Bull at playing FIFA?
There was a guy.
John Paxson. No,
John Paxson is not a FIFA player. You know, we used to have a bull. His name was Luol Deng.
Oh, so of the Great Britain national team.
And yes.
Yeah.
And he was a hell of a soccer
FIFA player.
FIFA player. And now we have a guy, you know, who's just a PlayStation and Xbox geek, Taj Gibson, and he plays FIFA now.
Wow.
So, you know, we will be competing with Taj Gibson a lot this year.
Wow, that's great to know.
Yeah, I just lost $100 to Dave, because I bet $100 on BJ Armstrong.
Oh, You're a man with your own sense of style. We respect a gent not afraid to rock a blinding cream-coloured seersucker suit with 70s vintage peak lapels trimmed in tan satin piping.
Yes.
Can you describe to all the young gents listening, the young gents in the crowd, the most important style lesson that you have to pass on to them?
Well, I mean, my style is usually sweatpants and sweatshirts and stuff like that, but I just try to be as comfortable as possible. People always talk to me about my style, and I know exactly, they're always going to talk about that draft night suit. It was a special night for me.
Were you wearing the right suit?
Yes, I was wearing the right suit.
That's good. That's good.
I mean, we love you. By the way, your answer to that made me sound like we were interviewing Kevin James. But the thing I love about you, I read an article in the Daily Beast recently.
And the Daily what?
The Daily Beast. Don't make me promote it one more time. The Daily Bloody Beast. We don't write for it. Daily Beast. Dailybeast.com. They wrote the following. You'll like this. They wrote, Joachim Noah. I should have a deeper voice for this, Joachim.
I'm nervous.
Can you read this out for me? They say he has the
manliest bun ever.
I love the English accent. Good job there.
They said he has the manliest bun ever. They said his top notch is a piece of pulled back hair that is a mangled ball of manliness.
That's good.
When I thought about that, I thought first of the MLS logo.
And MLS.
And then I thought, as two bald men who spend a lot of time watching the Premier League, we think a lot about manlied balls of manliness.
Yeah. So we've gone to the Premier League and we've looked at football's, soccer's best top notches.
Can you tell you manly in a deep voice or not manly when we show you some of these guys? We need you to judge.
Okay, let's go to them. Oh, first of all, Andy Carroll, no. David Beckham.
No love for Beckham?
Yeah. No love, okay.
Cal Drogo. Manly.
Pretty manly. Is that it for our manly? Zlatan. He looks like a ninja. I love it.
Is he Matt?
Oh, Beckerman. Beckerman.
Who's more manly than that man?
That's a good one.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Come on.
I think that's
really?
The end of the slideshow.
How old were you then?
Can you take that picture off? You're making me really.
Wait, we're gonna move. We're gonna move from one guy, Zlatan, who is good, but to another footballer who is really good. Who's this, Jim?
Yeah, Zachary Noah. That's my grandfather.
This is a gentleman who is a defender and a midfielder, right?
Yes, defender. Sweet.
Won the Coupe de France. Yes. Rog, 1961, with UA Sedan Torcy. You go back to Cameroon a lot in the off-season to be with your grandfather. Do you ever think about following in his footsteps, playing soccer? How is your soccer?
You know, I'm a 7-foot guy, and I think I did the right thing to pick basketball.
Can I catch one question before we get to this?
Yeah.
Actually, you spend a lot of time in the off-season in Cameroon. You spend a lot. I love any man that spends a lot of time with his grandfather. I love any human being.
Yes.
Any girl who spends a lot of time with their grandma. Anybody who spends a lot of time with their grandma. To me, it's the most important thing in life. I know that you are very close with your grandfather.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've not rehearsed this in any way. What is the most important lesson that he's taught you?
He always tells me, I know where I'm from, so I know who I am. And that's a quote that he tells me a lot. And when you come from a lot of different places, you know, it's kind of, it gets complicated. But to me, it's when I get to spend some time with my grandfather, get to spend some time with my family, that's when I feel comfortable and at peace. So I know where I'm from when I'm with my family.
Good on you.
When you say that you are, when you're a 7-foot man who thought that they shouldn't And I'm saying this as an American who does believe that we will win. That you weren't that good at soccer. Can we just roll tape?
Did he pick it up in this yes. last few minutes here? Everybody's going for the win. Noah. Noah, will he score? Noah, Yuki Noah's got it. And the USA takes an 8-7 lead, finally. There's that energy. Look at Noah. Look at this. Noah does a good job of bringing this down.
Oh, what a move.
A little bit of pressure, but then just a little touch with the left foot to the right. And look at this. The best thing about this is the celebration. I'm number one. I think he said, I finally did it. I finally got a goal.
You got to watch out when you do a chest bump with a big basketball player. Noah gives Team USA an 8-7 lead. The happiest man in New York City right now.
Oh, so good. Joachim Noah. You're the one that got away.
The one that got away.
Have a fantastic season with the Chicago Bulls. Enjoy 15. Ladies and gentlemen, Joachim Noah.
Joachim Noah.
Brilliant.
Oh, God.
Wow. What a show.
What a
show. Rog, what a show. This weekend, guys, City, Chelsea, huge game coming up in the Premier League.
That's like, for those of us that don't support City or Chelsea, that's like when Orlando Bloom and Justin Bieber had that fight in the nightclub in Ibiza. We're not quite sure who to support. Who do you want to win? Really? Orlando Bloom. All right. So, also a heroic but exhausted Everton.
Always well, heroic. Whatever happens.
We'll probably lose to Crystal Palace.
Controlling expectations.
I feel a darkness, honestly, for both of us this weekend. And I want to be positive and constructive about life because Davo's taught me that. He's positive.
Always.
I possibly am not. And so I want to be proactive. I live my life in the recovery position, perpetually in the recovery position. A lot of my life is about managing expectations, preparing for doom. And what better way to end the show than on a really down note? So with some proactive medicine for the weekend ahead for all of you, and I see a lot of Everton shirts here, I see it. A lot of Everton fans. See a lot of Chelsea fans here. See a lot of Manchester United fans here too. So I'm doing it because you're playing Leicester, so you better get ready.
Leicester.
What better way? Just to, all I'll say is heal thyself, David.
So we're going to bring to the stage, ladies and gentlemen, Broadway's Casey Sheik, accompanied on guitar by Tim Quick, with a song that can make Rogers' pain go away. The only song that can truly expunge all of the pain. Rog?
Casey?
Go ahead, Casey. Here we go.
You got a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. But me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. I've been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. We won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs. Finally see what it means to be living. Oh. See, my old man's got a problem. He lived with the bottle, that's the way it is. He says his body's too old for working. His body daddy's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said, somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. I remember we were driving in your car, speed so fast it like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car, I got a job that pays all our bills. You stay out drinking till late at the bar, see more of your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hoped for better, maybe together you and me'd find it. If you got no plans and ain't going nowhere, then take your fast car and keep on driving. I remember when we were driving in your car, speed so fast, felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, could be someone, could be someone. Got a fast car, is it fast enough so you can fly away? You gotta make a decision, you leave tonight or live and die this way. Oh, die this way. I remember when we were driving
in my car, speed so much felt like I was drunk. City lights felt and your arm felt nice wrapped
around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, could be someone, could be someone.
Okay, I'd like to thank Casey Sheik and Tim Quick. I want to thank Joachim Noah. I want to thank Gino Smith. I want to thank Paul Carr. I want to thank Nick Shannon.
I want to thank Roberto Martinez.
And I want to thank Kevin Love. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. From the crap part of Broadway, good night.
Yo, yo, yo.